All right, thank you for being back in your place tonight. And by the way, the Patch Kids did a tremendous job, and thankful for them, and thankful for all that you do every Sunday. Many of you teach in different classes, you help in different ministries, you're out just encouraging people and helping people to come to church, come to get saved, and to grow in their faith. And so thank you for everything you do, and you just make people feel welcome when they come to our church. I hear that all the time from new people. They're like, you know, your church just made us feel welcome. And so thank you for that. And thank you for all you do. We're going to look at this section of verses here. It's a very well-known story. And I want to share a thought from it and help us tonight in the time that we have together. Of course, one of the serious flaws in human nature is the fact that we don't like to take personal responsibility for things in our life. Okay, that starts really early in life. Okay, when we were younger, if we got blamed for something, we were looking for a sibling. That's just how it is. And the problem is a lot of people have not grown out of that. And we try to play the blame game. You know how this is if you have children, right? Have you ever asked your children this question? Hey, who took this or who did this? What you're going to hear is five answers that say this. I didn't do it. And I always say, hey, listen up. I didn't ask who didn't do it. I want to know who did do it. Because as soon as you ask that question, everybody goes into defensive mode, right? Okay, I gotta kind of make sure that I'm covered here. It's just how we are. Now, that's okay. By the way, I've talked to men before in the past, or they're like, you know, I'm going from job to job to job to job, and it's every job they go to, there's a reason why they quit after 3 or 4 weeks, a couple months. It's always the boss. It's always this. And you know, I figure if you've been to 5 or 6 different jobs, and there's always problems, what's the one common denominator? You. And so sometimes we need to look at ourselves and look and see if we're taking personal responsibility for the things in our life. And by the way, that's just part of being an adult. When you're raising children, if they do something, you just got to teach them like, hey, you know, everybody does wrong. That's just part of it. But you have to own up to it. What you do when you do wrong is what's going to determine how you do in life. We're going to look at a story here about someone who didn't want to take responsibility for what they did. We know this story well, right? This was the Ten Commandments, right? You ever, when I was a kid, used to come on once a year, and you'd be on, it was like a 7-hour movie, I don't know, something like that. And we would watch it, and I was in awe, you know, that's really happening. I didn't understand it from the biblical perspective, right? But this is the story where it came from. Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and God called him up, and God's going to give him the Ten Commands, and he's going to write it on tablets. And he's up there for a little bit of time, and the people took this as an opportunity. Apparently, even though these people had come out of Egypt, Egypt had not completely come out of them. And so they were looking for their opportunity. And so because Moses is gone, they go to Aaron and they demand that they want a new God because Moses is gone and they don't know what's going on with him. Well, Aaron makes a bad decision and he decides, okay, give us your gold. And he makes a calf and he sets it up before them. And then it takes a really bad turn. After he makes the calf, he made an altar for the calf. And then the party started and it got out of control. It got pretty bad. Really, the fact is they didn't want a new false god. They wanted to feed their flesh. Then look at verse 4. It says, and Aaron, he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, of verse 32, I'm sorry, after he had made a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Moses, Aaron saw it, he built an altar, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and bought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose to play. And the thing just starts spiraling out of control. Once they had Moses out of the way and they felt that they got God out of the way, now they could do the things that they wanted to do, which really was a disaster. God tells Moses, hey, something's going on down there and the people are corrupting themselves. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, and have corrupted themselves. You know, God kind of is a little sarcastic sometimes here. Did you see that? You know, by the way, whenever you come home and your children get in trouble, the wife always says, your children got in trouble at school today. I thought, you know, I was there. It was, you know. Or, guess what? My children got straight A's. It's like, how come when they do good things, they're your children, and they get demerits, they're my children? God says, hey, Moses, your people, the ones you brought out of Egypt, they have corrupted themselves. They're not doing very well. Well, look at verse 17. They're going down the hill, and God sends them back down. He's going to deal with it. Joshua gets the partying was really so out of control. Joshua was confused. Verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto them, there is a noise of the war in the camp. It was so bad. Joshua was like, there is, someone must have attacked them. There's fighting going on. Moses knew what was going on, and he starts to take care of this situation. They were partying. Verse 19. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, Moses, that he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses' anger waxed hot. By the way, we talked about anger this morning. This is one of the times that it was okay to get upset. And he cast the table of stone out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink of it. So he already starts the judgment process, and he's getting rid of the calf, and he's starting to judge. Now he's going to go to Aaron and find out what happened. And Aaron is going to right away start backtracking when it comes to taking responsibility for what happened. Aaron's not going to tell him how it exactly went down. He's going to give him a version of the story that tries to absolve him of any responsibility. Now, we're going to look at this, but let me just say this. When it comes to our own spirituality, whether for good or whether for bad, we must all take personal responsibility for it. I've said it over and over and over, and it's true. Wherever we are as a Christian in this life, you know, if there was a scale, right, 1 to 10, wherever I fall on that scale, I'm there because that's where I choose to be. And the same is true of you. We cannot blame others or try to make it someone else's responsibility. As I mentioned this morning, one of these days we will stand before God. And we may feel comfortable in what we're doing sometimes if we feel that there's someone else that we can blame. But the fact of the matter is, when I stand before God, it's going to be me and him, and I can't blame anybody. I have to take responsibility, so I might as well start doing it now. What Aaron was doing, I call it the "it wasn't me" syndrome. I did not do this. By the way, you see it in the Bible. Adam, what God said, what happened? He goes, Eve. Okay. He goes, all right, I'll deal with you later. Eve, what happened? She said, the devil. I remember when Saul didn't obey God and get rid of the Amalekites, and he came to him and said, what were you doing? He goes, the people. They forced me to do this. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, he was going to send Jesus off for him to be crucified, and he washed his hands and said, hey, it's on you guys, it's not on me. But fact of the matter is, it was on him as well. So we have a choice. By the way, there are other people in the Bible who didn't take the blame game. They did the right thing when they could have made excuses for doing the wrong thing. I think about Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was lonely. He had been mistreated. And he had this opportunity with Potiphar's wife, and he didn't take it. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were going to be put to death. The king made you listen to the music. You got to bow down to my idol. If not, I'm going to throw you in the fire. And the only ones that didn't do it were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By the way, there was a lot of other Jews there. They all bowed down. They could have made excuse, but they didn't. And they didn't bow down. I think of Daniel. Daniel was going to be thrown into the lion's den. Now, let's think of this. Let's think of this one. The law was that you couldn't pray to another god. All he had to do was just pray in his heart. They wouldn't have seen that. But when he heard the law, he went to his house. He kept the shades up so everybody can see him. And he got down on his knees so they knew he was praying. They didn't take the blame game. Now, we're never going to go anywhere if we choose to excuse where we are at. By the way, taking personal responsibility is good because it causes us to look at ourselves, to notice our weaknesses, to take responsibility for what we've done, and to become better. Now, what were some of the reasons here that Aaron framed for what happened? And by the way, there's some of the reasons that you and I will make as well, right? Let me give you a couple, if you don't mind, it will be done. Number one, here's the first one, a casual attitude. Look at verse number 22. Moses comes to him and tells him, hey, what happened here? And look what he says, verse 22. Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know what he's saying? Calm down. You don't have to get mad. After all, it's probably not that big a deal. That's a casual attitude. We have casual attitudes in our society as well, do we not? I don't understand how someone can kill an unborn child. And come on, what's the big deal? It's just a lump of cells with its own DNA, with all the properties of a child. It's a casual attitude. We take a casual attitude towards the things that God says we shouldn't do. Some alcohol, oh, what's the big deal? I'm not hurting anybody. People can cheat on their spouse, and it's like, come on, it was just a moment of weakness. And we could go on and on and on. There's so many other things. Let's get to some of the ones that we might be involved with. Should I? Like, come on, what does it matter if I tell just a little lie? After all, I'm not the only one. It's not hurting anybody. We look at our entertainment that has very casual attitudes about the things that God says are despicable. But what about Christians? Those of us that are saved, sometimes I feel like it's easy for us to have a casual attitude towards the things that aren't right. You know, we'll say things like, God understands, after all, I'm just a sinner. What you're saying is, it's okay for me to do that. God's grace forgives me for my sins. After all, I don't want to be legalistic. I won't be the first one who's done this, and we just give all of our excuses, and then we drop the one that everybody loves. After all, doesn't the Bible say, judge not? That's not what that's talking about. The fact of the matter is, we should not be casual about the areas in the Bible that God says we ought to take, and it ought to be a big deal. Let me go back to Joseph before we move on. One of the reasons Joseph did not give in to Potiphar's wife is because to him it was a big deal. Let me give you the verse, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9. He said, here's what he told her when he refused her. He goes, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything. He's talking about Potiphar. He goes, look, so he hasn't kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. I can do whatever I want, and because he trusts me, and I can do and have anything I want except for you. But here's what he really says. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He said, bottom line, no matter how I feel, no matter how I'm feeling, no matter if I can make the excuse of this, I just can't do this against God because it's great wickedness. And let me just say, whenever someone is confronted with something and the first words out of their mouth are, hey, don't get upset, that always means this: it's something worth getting upset about. Let's not have a casual attitude. Number two, secondly, he says he was a people pleaser. And then he goes on. Verse 22 again, thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. And by the way, that was true. These people had lived in Egypt. Although they wanted out and they saw God work, they still wanted crazy things because they still had Egypt inside of them and they had not dealt with it. But that is no excuse for giving in to the people. A lot of people get involved with things because they're peer pressured and we want to please others. The thing I'd like to say is this: the main person we're supposed to please is God. And I'm not saying we're mean to other people, because sometimes people will give us advice or try to push us something that they legitimately, especially if they're not a Christian, they may think is right, but we know better because of the scripture. And we just have to refuse it. Okay? People make decisions all the time based on what someone else will think, not on what God would think. Don't give into the pressure. Sometimes we give into the pressure. You know why? Because it's really what we want to do in our hearts. And someone says, hey, I want you to do this. And it's like, oh, well, after all, that's what the people wanted. And let me say this before I move on. The difference between the leadership of Moses and Aaron is that Moses would confront the people and Aaron compromised for the people. The same people that Aaron said, you know the people, they just want to be into mischief. How come they didn't do that when Moses was around? Oh, they tried, but every time they did, Moses stood up. Moses tried to lead them in the right direction. Moses didn't give in to their whining. Moses didn't give in to their desires. Moses tried to find out from God what he wanted and tried to push them in that direction, even if they didn't want to go in that direction, because that direction was best for them. It wasn't a matter of the people, it was a matter of the leader. And by the way, I'll say this, and maybe it's not the message, but it'll apply. There's areas of our life where we're leaders, especially as parents, and we don't just give in to our children. We try to get them in the right direction. You know what that's called? That's called being a parent. And our society has tried to push that off to the side to where, you know, you can't do that. Let the children do what they want. Listen, they don't know what they want. They're young. Okay, it's funny how we do that, but you make your children take a bath every night. Right? Ask a child, hey, you want to take a bath tonight? Any boy will tell you, I'm good. It's not that bad. I took one Thursday. Okay, you know how it is. But yet, when it comes, you got to get in there. But when it comes to things of right and wrong, sometimes we backtrack. I have always found, and maybe I'm wrong, if the kids are fighting for something, that's something they shouldn't get. Okay, that was free. Let's move on here. So thirdly, here's the next one, and we already alluded to it. There was a leadership failure. Look at verse 23. And he said unto me, for they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Moses was up on the mount receiving the commandments of God, and he was doing the right thing, but they used his absence as an excuse to do what they really wanted to do. After all, you know, they're making an excuse like, hey, where is he? We need him. He's not here. We got to do something else. They had never learned just to do the right thing because it's the right thing. They were just conforming. They weren't really committed. And when Moses was out of the way, they used that as an excuse, and they're going to blame, in a sense, Moses for that. A lot of Christians do this one. Sometimes we're just doing the things we're supposed to do because we're at church, because our parents make us, and all those different things. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not just about doing. It's about loving the Lord God with all your heart. Amen. Now, there's things we do that God wants us to do, and we do those things. But we need to love him. And we can't blame a leader if that's not true. We'll blame the church, we'll blame the rules, we'll blame other things. But the fact of the matter is, the reason we really struggle with God is because we're trusting in something else and we don't have a real relationship with him. We're not spending time with him. The only Bible we learn is when we're in church. We never read it for ourselves. We never want God to speak to me directly. And by the way, God can speak to you directly, and it doesn't happen when you're in sleep at night. How many ever had a dream? How many of you have ever had a crazy dream? Okay, it's like, you know, I was really concerned. I've mentioned before, when I first got married, my wife kept having dreams where I was getting killed. And they were pretty vivid. Maybe she woke up one night and she's, what happened? It's like, I just had a dream we were in a wreck and you died. I'm like, who was driving? Me. Oh, that was a problem. She had a dream, I'm kidding you not, you can ask her. She had a dream one night. I got stepped on by King Kong. And I thought, how weird, I don't even know King Kong. Then she had a dream one time, we were at the bus route, Because we were at that time, I was a bus captain. She goes, I was at a dream. We were at a house in a bus route, and a tornado came. It sucked you out of the building. And I thought, this woman wants to get rid of me. And we didn't even have life insurance. No, you know, I had this dream, and I'm sure it was of God. Those weren't, trust me. It was of God, and I know this is what God wants. No. God speaks through his word. And he can speak to you. And so let's have that relationship. Let's not blame leaders for everything that happens in our life. By the way, again, as we looked at it, they're always looking to blame leaders. I talked about Adam blaming Eve, but you know who else Adam blamed? God. He said, hey, Adam, what happened? He goes, well, you know, Lord, it was the woman. You know, the one you gave me. You know, I had no choice in the matter, right? You told me to take a nap one day. I woke up, boom, there she was. Okay, you know, you want to marry somebody? She's the only one. It wasn't God's fault. We're always trying to blame somebody else. Who are we going to blame? Children, you're going to blame your parents? Well, I came from a dysfunctional home. Get in line. We all did. Well, they made me go to church. That's a good thing. You know, they made me do certain things because they love you. You blame the church, right? You know, it's always a church. They're legal. No. Following the Bible is not legalism. Legalism is adding works to salvation. We blame people. I know a person that let me down. I know this person, and they were a spiritual leader, and they did something. And by the way, that happens, and I hate that happens. And I always say this, whenever someone who's a Christian lets you down, let me just say this. Jesus didn't let you down. That person may have, I get it, and they're a sinner. Look, David let people down. You look in the Bible, there are others who were spiritual people that let others down. But can I tell you something? That's because they're human in their flesh. The Lord will never let you down. Don't give up on him. Next, spiritual ignorance. The spiritual ignorance. Look at verse 23. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For Moses, the man that brought us out of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. You know what the problem here was here? They equated Moses' departure with God's departure. God didn't leave. And by the way, Moses was going to be down. He was just a little bit late. Okay? So what did they do? They wanted to make a God of their own choosing. There's a reason this happens, as I mentioned before. The reason we equate people or a church with God's presence, although in our church, I hope that God shows up here, is because we don't have that relationship. And so if we don't have a spiritual relationship with God, we tie that into other things. And by the way, not necessarily things that are wrong, things that will push us in the right direction, but we mistake those for God himself in a sense, if you know what I'm saying here. It wasn't that God left them. Moses was just gone for a while. God has never hidden that what he wants for his people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 9, he said it very early. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He doesn't want someone who just is a churchian, and they come to church, and they don't know very much about the Bible. They don't know very much about spirituality. God wants you to love him. God wants you to have a relationship with everything you have. He says in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, he goes, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. God doesn't want superficial love. God wants what you're learning and that love for him to be deep rooted. Not just, look, if it's deep rooted, someone lets you down, you still love God. If it's deep rooted and things don't go your way, you still go forward because you love God. You don't backtrack off it because something bad happened. In fact, God said it's so important. He wants you to pass that love along in verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. If something is so hard, is so deep in your heart, you're going to spread it to everybody you can, and it's going to start in your own home. And then he says in verse 8, let them bind thee for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets. He said it should guide your life. And verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates. It ought to be front and center in everything that you do. I guarantee you, if you have a living relationship with God on a daily basis, nothing will be able to push you to walk off and walk away from God. But see, most of us don't treat a relationship with God like a daily occurrence. So I heard someone say of the word of God, he goes, it's to bread to be eaten every day. It's not like cake that's only tasted occasionally. Nobody feeds their cake every day, their children cake every day. But they shouldn't. Okay, but we'll give them the necessities of life each and every day. So let's make sure that we have a real relationship with God. The next thing was bad counsel. Look at verse 24. What Aaron should have said is what Moses would have said if he was there. Are you out of your minds? What are you talking about? Well, here's what he said. And he said, and I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. That's not the time to take an offering. And I'm a Baptist pastor. I like offerings. Okay? That wasn't the answer. He gave him some horrible counsel. He should have stood up. He should have said, hey, this is God's will for Moses to be gone. Be patient. He's going to come back. You're not serving Moses. You're serving the true and living God. You should be obedient. Don't disobey God in this way. And what did he do? He came up with a plan. Let's create a false god to take Moses' place. By the way, you know what we really need? Everybody needs someone in their life who will tell them the truth when the truth needs to be told. You don't need a friend that'll just pat you on the back. You don't need someone that'll just put a stamp of approval on a bad plan. You need someone that'll listen to you and love you enough to say, you know what? I don't think that's going to turn out very well. Is that really what God wants? That wasn't Aaron. Everybody makes decisions in their life. And let me just say this. When you make decisions, go to somebody that'll give you a real answer. Don't go to someone that's just going to, you know what we do? That's why young people go to their friends. Because their friends aren't going to tell them what they need to hear. Their friend's not going to say, what are you, a knucklehead? That's the worst thing I've ever heard. They won't go to their parents. They won't go to some spiritual leader. They'll just throw this thing out there. Bad counsel. And so make sure that you listen to the right person. And lastly, this is the funniest. He uses the excuse of an accidental occurrence. He says, they gave me all this gold. I kicked on the oven. You know, got one of the little melting pot things. And I did this. Verse 24, he says, so they gave it to me, the gold. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. You heard what he said? He said, I took all the gold, and I just threw it in the fire, and 5 minutes later, this golden calf came out. Now, by the way, if you read the verses at the beginning of the chapter, it says that he took the gold, and he fashioned it into a gold calf. This is an absolute lie. I mean, I didn't plan on this thing, Moses. I just thought when the people came and said, hey, you're gone, let's take an offering. And then I thought, hey, what better place in the world to store gold than in a fire? Oh, wait a minute. Here comes a calf. It's the most ridiculous excuse ever. By the way, most excuses we make are ridiculous. Understand this. There's no accidental thing is sinning. No one accidentally does something wrong. No one accidentally loses their relationship with God. Things happen to bring that into play. When we walk away, we can excuse what we do, but it's a choice. And it's a commission of a sin that we commit, and it's because of our lack of commitment to God. Well, these are a lot of really bad excuses. Let me just mention these briefly. Can I tell you the real reason that they wanted a false god? You could just push. Look, there's always a real reason. I read a book about a guy. He was a baseball player in the 1910s, and he wasn't very good, but he had a really good attitude and a really good spirit, and he was real encouraging. And because of that alone, they had him on the team. Well, he only played a few years because he didn't have skill. Later on, he left, and he became a very well-known and successful salesman. And he wrote a little book, it was written in the 30s, and I read it, and just talking about encouraging and working hard and all this stuff. And he said this in the book. He goes, I would lose a customer. And I would go in, I'd say, hey, what happened? You know, how did we let you down? Why aren't you with us anymore? And they would give a nice excuse. Oh, you know, we're just going to different, and they would give all these excuses or whatever. And they were real nice. They go, okay, thank you for that. And he goes, I would go to the door like I was leaving, and I turn around and I'm like, are you sure there's not something else? And he goes, every time they'd say, well, and they'd give the real story, not some excuse. Can I give you the well, why they did it, and why we do it sometimes, and we excuse it? First of all, it's because of their pride. The pride is, I want to make the decisions in my life. I do not want a God that's making those decisions. I find it very interesting that why Moses was up on the mount getting the Ten Commandments, they were down there breaking pretty much every one of them because they wanted to be a God. That was Satan's lie to Eve right off the bat. He said, you can be a God. You can decide what's right and wrong for your life, not God. Secondly, playtime. Look at verse 6, it says, and they rose up, they're going to have a feast. They rose up on the morrow, and they offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. I mean, they were giving an offering to their false god like they would have to the real God, but hold it. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's why they wanted a false god. They wanted adult, unfortunately, playtime. They wanted to do things that weren't right. They wanted to live and party and do these things in such a way that would have dishonored the real God, so they had to get themselves a God that they could rubber stamp and make everything okay. Don't we do that? We don't want a God that interferes with our choice. They did not want a God that demanded purity. They wanted the God that allowed for them to play. They wanted pleasure. Verse 18, when Joshua said, hey, there's a war going on, Moses said, no. He said, it's the noise of them that sing do I hear. They were just having a good time. They just wanted pleasure. A few weeks ago, I mentioned in a message, it talks about at the end times that people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They wanted to do what they wanted to do more than their love for the real God. And so they used Moses as an excuse to send him packing. And then I won't spend a lot of time on this. There was just passion. He said, when Moses got there, he said Moses made them naked to their shame, and I'll leave it at that. There was a lot of bad things going on. You say, how in the world could they bring that into the worship of an idol? You don't understand that the idols that the people worshiped in the days that the Bible were being written were wicked, rotten, and evil idols. Just about every single one of them, their worship involved immorality. And here these people are bringing that into their lives, but they knew they couldn't bring it into their lives as long as they were worshiping the true God, and they had Moses at the front pushing them left and center, so they had to bring in a new God that would allow that kind of worship. We just need to be very, very careful of that. So what is the solution? Let me just read a verse and we're done. Moses figured it out and he told it. Verse 26, he comes down, clears it out, listens to Aaron, and he just says this. Verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? It's a decision. Apparently, in the midst of all the nonsense that was going on, there was a group of Levites that said, we're not getting involved with this junk. And Moses said, who really is going to stand for God? And there was a group who said, we're here. Do you know how you go the right way? You just stay wholly committed to God. You are not ashamed in your life, in your actions, and in your speech to say, I'm on God's side. And if God's not for it, neither am I. If God's not going to allow it, I'm not going to allow it in my life. And that's how it works. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Thank you for listening intently. But we need to be careful about this. Because as much as we may be doing the right thing, Satan is always there in the background trying to push this new type of do your own thing. And by the way, that type of belief appeals to everybody. But we have to be committed. Are we committed to God? Are we? Are we struggling in some areas and we're allowing ourselves to struggle because we found some halfway, not decent, but they sound decent excuses as to why? There was no excuse for what they allowed themselves to do. There was no excuse for what Aaron did. There was just an opportunity for the people to do what they wanted to do because they had never cleansed their heart. They were never committed to the Lord, and they had never really decided to be on the Lord's side. And when the opportunity presented itself, there it is. By the way, that happens sometimes. We come to church and we're doing the right thing, but we're not really connected to God. We're just kind of, you know, we're just kind of along for the ride, and Satan's just waiting for the right opportunity to be sent your way so that you deviate. Let's not do that today. Let's not do that. The people paid dearly. Sin always makes you pay. Let's stand together tonight if we may. The piano is going to play. If God spoke to you at all about anything, why don't we come and pray? Why don't we come and seal our commitment to God? Why don't we come and say, if that type of stuff comes my way, I will fight it. I'm not going to let Satan get a foothold. Yes, my flesh desires to do these other things, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand strong for the Lord. Why don't you come?